John chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Not the Gospel of John, but the Epistle. That's 1 John 1 and beginning in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The thought that I want to bring to you out of this passage of Scripture here that we've been reading is the fact that there's a thing called fellowship, friendship. And there's a need in our life to have friends. The Bible says, Jesus spoke and said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, in that ye have love one toward another." So friendship is ordained of God. It's what we ought to be having. In the middle of finding a loss along the way, in whether it be in the home that we're raised in, the marriage we enter into, whatever the situation along the way that God has ordained, wherever we pick up the trail of friendship, we then jump more in that moment upon that one relationship and demand more out of it. There are times when people come to the church and they want to know, is it a friendly church? I think that's one of the first questions that people have. Is it a friendly church? And if a church proves itself to be friendly, it's not long until people are coming together and they stay together because of the friendliness that's there. People want friendship. But there's a thing that we have to realize in the whole equation, and John bears this out, that if we're going to have friendships, we must begin at the foundation beginning, and that is in Jesus Christ. There is no way that you can have a relationship with anybody that is going to solve the problems of both people equally. Two people get married and find out that both people say, "I am satisfied equally with this union," because there's one who wants to stay home and one would just as soon go someplace. There's one who would like to buy and the other would like to save. There's one who would like to be very romantic and the other one would like to just let it go today. There's always an adjustment, and in a relationship, one has a greater need than the other. And except the Holy Spirit works in our life and brings us back to the first relationship, when we find that the second relationship is yet causing me to be a little bit limited, I can in that moment return to the Lord, or else I feel betrayed. Wherever you put two people together, you're going to find that one person wants more than the other. We've had a nice week at home. I don't know why. It just has been a week without much pressure. Everybody seems to be kind of pulling together. And Shirley and I, we had just a good time. I called her up the other day and she sounded so pleasant. I said, "Why do you sound like that?" You just, you know, just sound like she had a little bit of laughter in her voice, a little bit of humor. You know, it started worrying me. I didn't know what she was up to. Couple 3 days, we were just getting together so marvelously. Last night, sitting on the couch, and finally I just did something annoying. She said, "What'd you do that for?" I said, "I didn't want your love to get out of hand." Didn't want you to carry it to a fanatical extreme, you know. I just wanted to put a little bit of brake on it, you know. I didn't want to go too far. And that's the way it is in relationships. We find that we are not paired off perfectly. Nobody's paired off perfectly in any relationship. And if you're not careful, you're going to find out that you're going to think, "I got cheated in this relationship. He wants to save, I want to spend. He wants to sleep and I want to wake up." The whole thing seems like we don't find ourselves perfectly related. What do we do in that? We have to begin in Jesus Christ. Your first friend has to be Jesus. If you're coming to this church for good reasons, if you believe that God's got a wife for you and you're not married yet, a husband for you, you're not joined yet, if you find yourself, you want friends because you're all by yourself and you don't have friends to share some time with, and you're coming to church and you're thinking, surely there's some people here that can be friends to me. Unless you let Jesus be the lover of your soul, you're going to ask too much out of this church. You're going to ask too much out of anybody. You're going to ask too much out of the friendship of this church. You're going to ask more than what we can deliver. You're going to ask for too much. You've got to start with your heart turning toward Jesus and say, Jesus, you're my friend. When everybody else don't quite fit, I know that you fit my situation. You're the lover of my soul. Oh God, I thank you that I'm in love with you and you're in love with me. What do you do when the husband comes home and falls asleep on the couch in front of the television set? You'd better have a relationship with Jesus or you're going to be driven up the wall. You're going to find yourself angry at the whole situation. This is not what I chose, and this isn't what he was like before I married him. And look at him now. I can't stand. Would you cut out that snoring? As you take your foot and give him a swift kick in the middle of the night, you know that you can't stand it anymore. You'd like to take a wash rag and stuff it down his throat. You listen and you just can't stand it. It seems like the older they get, the louder he gets. You need a relationship with Jesus. You need a relationship with Christ. You need a relationship. When the cars don't have spare tires no more and he's got two of them, you need a relationship with Jesus. You need the Lord to work in your life. You need God to be real to you. You've got to start with the first friendship, and it's got to be fantastic. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus that is more than church work. Church work never satisfied anybody's soul. All it does is get us tired so we can sleep better at night, gives us a sense of worth in some degree, but it can never take care of the need for friendship. It'll cause you to realize how many lazy people there are. It'll cause you to know how many people who are not organized in their mind and their spirit and their time. It'll cause you to realize how few people you can depend on. Church work never makes anybody a spiritual giant. There's only one way to become spiritually strong, and that is to have fellowship with Jesus. Praising him, worshiping him, loving him, calling upon his name, being able to say, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, let all my wants and wishes known. Lord, I have a relationship with you. It is a friendship relationship. Sometimes people have failures in their friendships all the way from the foundation. A girl at home, the family's been a Christian home, but somehow it didn't click in her life. And she goes to church as long as mom insists, and she sits there and hopes that something will come along to take care of the boring moment. She stands around at home and mother says, do this, do that. And she says, I'm so sick of this place. I can't wait until I find somebody to love me. I can't wait to find somebody to marry me. And I'm going to leave this rotten home. And I'm going to leave this sickening place. And I'm going to get married. Wait, daughter, you'll be no happier when you get married. You'll put all the pressure that is not being taken care of by Christ and taken care of by your mom and your home. And you're going to put it all upon a man. And you're going to look at him and say, you failed me. You failed me miserably. I came into this marriage with expectancy, and you're not my everything. I thought you'd be everything at night and everything during the day. I thought that all the songs I heard would have your name put in the middle of them, and I've come to the place and realized that you're disgusting, and I can't stand you any more than I could my mother. I can't stand you no more than I could stand the church. I can't stand you any more than I could stand my teacher at school. I can't stand you either. And another failure's happened. You've got to start with the foundation in love. You've got to start with God and build on it, because you'll put too much pressure on another place. And then the mother finally gives up some due, at least on the marriage. And they just think, well, if he doesn't lose his job, we'll be okay. bring it home and let me cash it and let me spend it for some more clothes for the kids and something else, and I'll make it do. And then the children, her dreams are that they're going to always love her, and they'll always be hers. That's my son, and he'll always be mine. That's my daughter. She'll always be mine. And she finds out that sons and daughters don't like to be under the thumb of a mother. And after a while, they're planning their escape. And she looks and she says, but you didn't call me this week. You went and got married. You got two kids. And you haven't even called me at all. You don't care about me. You don't care about how I feel. You don't care about me at all. You don't care. You're leaving my dreams. You're leaving my fantasies. You're leaving everything and walking away. I need you. Your mother needs you today. Oh, no, you'll find out that children will betray you, too. They're not going to be used by you any more than anybody else is going to be used for you by you for long. And you're going to look and be discouraged because it's not fair. The marriage didn't work out. It's not fair. The daughter didn't work out. It's not fair. The son's not working out. It's not fair. The church isn't working out. It's not fair. Listen, you better start with Jesus. And when Christ is everything to you, you don't need that much of a husband. When Christ is everything to you, your children don't have to call that many times. When Christ is everything to you, the church doesn't have to applaud you for everything you do. When Christ is your everything, you can say, oh, thanks be unto God. He gives me the victory through Jesus Christ the Lord. You're here today. Some of you are new. Some haven't come here for long. There's some of here for the first time. You're going to wonder about this church. You're going to wonder about this pastor. You're going to wonder about the congregation. I trust that somebody will shake your hand warmly. I trust that I'll preach a message that you can identify with. But I'll tell you this, that if you don't start with Jesus, I can't do all that has to be done in your heart. I wish that I could. I'd do anything I could, but I'm going to fail you. You better have somebody more than Pastor Bogle. You better have somebody more than this pastor. You need the Lord to help you. I trust that everybody in this place shakes your hand and they show themselves warm and friendly to you. But I want to tell you that there'll be a day that you'll find that people won't satisfy you. And you'll say, I went to the church and I don't know, came back for a couple, 3 weeks. I thought I'd give Evangel another chance. I thought I'd give Evangel another try. But I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have even come back. It's not working. It's not going to work until he's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's got to be your friend. He's got to go with you every place. He's got to be your God. He's got to be the Lord who's the friend that you have. He's got to be your friend. Why is there so much failure in the church when people, all they want is friends? People get married, they expect somebody to be their everything. No man's going to be your everything. And you're going to find out how little he wants to be your everything. And you're going to look and say, you could have help me, but you didn't even do what you could. You didn't even do what you could. We end up manipulating relationships. We begin using relationships. And the woman works all week the same as the man and comes home and he sits and grunts and says, get some food ready, take care of the kids, clean the house. That's your job. Unfair as it could be, and yet we look and find that we're being used in the relationship. Listen, it's bad to use another person, but it's not half the problem as being used, because when you're used, you become bitter. And when you become bitter, no matter what the person does, they can't do anything for you once you become bitter. It's ruined in that moment. I'd like to be the best preacher you ever knew, but if I ever do anything to make you bitter, I can preach a message under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and you won't care. It won't do you no good because I've already hurt you. It won't do no good because I've already hurt you somehow. And I can cry with tears down my face and it won't mean a thing to you. I can preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and you'll still want to quit. Why? Because you've been hurt somehow. There's only one way that you can take your hurts, and that's to Jesus. And listen, when you take your hurts to Jesus, this pastor can fail you. He can be a man and miss the mark. But you'll say, listen, I've come back to God and he's taken care of my bitterness. He's taken care of my hurt. My hope is in Christ. He makes life able to live. I can trust God. He brings me through. The Lord is my help. Pastors ought to try very hard not to hurt anybody. Not that they're wrong in hurting somebody, but when you hurt somebody, it's so hard for them to get anything out of you. So hard for them to get anything out of you. wife, when I was going with her, was 16. Married her when she was 17. Her little sister was quite a bit younger. And she liked me, just liked me all the time. She'd run over, jump on my lap, do all kinds of things. Mischievous little gal. And then one day I just grabbed her and playfully I spanked her. It was the worst thing that I ever did. Because I said, hey, I'm sorry, I just playing. But our relationship never was the same. She never felt the same about me from that moment on. I ruined a relationship. And we in life will go through life ruining relationships, every one of us, except Christ. Be in charge of the one who's doing the spanking, the hurting, and the one who's getting hurt. And the one that's getting hurt needs to know God even better than the one that's doing the hurting. The husband, he hurts the wife and he goes his way careless. And God speaks to his heart and maybe he'll repent. But the wife has been hurt real bad and only God can take care of that. She can't feel the same way she once did. She can try with all her heart, but there's been something ruined in the relationship. You better have a doctor in your relationship with love. You better have a doctor in the relationship of friendship. You better know Jesus and be able to retreat all the way back to the lover of your soul. You better be able to get all the way back to him. He's the only one that can help you in friendship and relationship. People don't need the equal amount of anything in friendship. And that's why you need the Lord first and foremost. Because when you come to the place that your relationship offers you nothing more and you still need something, then you better go back to Jesus, not the streets. You better go back to Jesus, not adultery. You better go back to Jesus. So many times when people think they fall in love, it's two lonely people who are colliding together in their loneliness. And they're being pulled together in their vacuum. Instead of knowing what it is to love, they know what it is to be lonely. But you need to have not a weakness relationship. You need a relationship of strength. You need to have God build on a foundation of knowing Christ Jesus. Of being able to say, Jesus is my everything. When you come into this church, I don't care how many reasons you come. The music is good. The worship is tremendous. We look and we see so many things that commend us in this church. But you better come together with the first love and say, when I come to this church, I feel the presence of Jesus. When I come to this church, it seems like he knows my thoughts and what I need. When I come to this church, he touches my heart. When I come to this church, I'm able to pray in this place. I'm able to praise him. I'm able to worship him. I feel his presence. I'm able to love him here. More than anything else, you need to be able to love him here. That's the first thing. And whenever relationships fail you, and they will, and the husband falls asleep, then you better be able to look up to Jesus and love him a little bit. And the daughter goes off and you look at her room and it's empty. You better be able to turn to Jesus and say, oh, Jesus, you're the one I started with. And you're the one I'm going to have with me every day I live. Oh, listen, when you look and you see the relationships are less than what they ought to be. When it's satisfied somebody else and you turn to the husband, you say, we need counseling. And he says, what for? We're doing okay. And you say, no, 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 we're not. It can't go on like this. And he says, why? It's not that bad. Your meals are okay. We get along all right. I come home, I don't mind it. And you say, no, it's got to be more than this. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. Then you better go to the counselor himself and say, Lord, men are only able to move so far and touch so deep. But I know you, God, you've been with me when I've been alone and made me feel comfortable. You've been with me when nobody was there. And you touch me and you bless me. And I'm coming back to you this moment, God. And I thank you for my husband. He's not my everything, but he's good and I thank you. But God, you're my everything. You're my hope, my only hope. I put my trust in thee. Children need to learn that Jesus is their friend. The younger, the better. And don't ever ignore it. A child has to learn that Jesus is a friend. And so when the child cries, turn him to Jesus.
Turn him to Jesus. Turn her to Jesus again and again, and let the child know what a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus is your friend, little child. Jesus is your friend, because if Jesus isn't a friend, the child is going to find out that parents are under pressure. And parents have a hard time surviving. And there's times when all the parents want is go watch the television, get out of my hair, and don't make that much noise. I need a doctor to give me peace in my own spirit. I can't have more pressure in this moment. Leave me alone. Quit your fighting. Go someplace, but don't bother me. And the child says, you're supposed to be a mother. You're supposed to be a father. You're not a perfect person. Who does a child go to when their mother's not perfect? Who does a child go to when their dad's not perfect? That child had better learn to go to Jesus. To go to Jesus. To go to Jesus. To go to the Lord. And if a child doesn't go to Jesus, they'll look and see a good-looking woman who's a beautiful mother, and a little child will walk up and say, I wish you was my mama. See a man who's all the time so kind with little children. I wish you was my dad. Oh, listen, there's little children. And when it comes to that moment that a little child wishes that you were my mama, you're my dad, they better know they got somebody that's better than a mom or a dad upon the earth. They've got Jesus, and he's able to satisfy their need. He's God. You better teach your children that he's a friend, not just a God to get mad when they're bad, but he's a God to be a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. I was 3 years of age, maybe. My parents had this young guy over the house. My parents were young at the time, too, but he was single. Had a girlfriend. Her name was Pat. It's funny how you can remember certain things. He just sang songs and did all kinds of funny things. And said, hey, George, you want to go home with me? I figured, sure. He's fun. I said, hey, Dad, I want to go home with him. You rotten betrayer of trust. You'd leave us to go home with him? Sure. I didn't know loyalty. I was a three-year-old kid ready to go home. Just broke my dad's heart. And sometimes when we break people's hearts, they just get mean. We don't know what goes on inside. We don't know what people are like. We can't judge another man's heart. All we can know is that in the middle of the whole thing, that we learn that we fall short. We, as dads, and we fall short as moms, and we fall short as husbands, and we fall short as wives. And what do? We get mad when we fall short. All have fallen short in friendship. Every person falls short in friendship. Everybody offers somebody else less than enough. We all offer less than enough. And there's only one way for the one that gets hurt, and the one that is hurt is only one thing to do, and that is to realize who we fall back on. My faith looks up to thee. My faith looks up to thee. Where do we go when we feel like we've been cheated? Oh, I look and I see sometimes people that are so dismal and depressing and discouraging, and I see them with kids. And I think, I'd hate to be in that family. I'd hate that to be my mom. I'd hate to come home to that. I really would. I'd hate to go. You know what I'm talking about. It's a fact. What do you do when you have to come home to that? It may be a mother who doesn't care how she looks. It may be a mother on drugs. It might be a mother with a temper who can't keep from beating the kids. But what do you do when you come home to something with like that? You better go beyond that to Jesus. And 5-year-old kids can go to Jesus. 7-year-old children can go to Jesus. 10-year-old children can go to Jesus. We've let the devil close the ears and the eyes of our kids. Listen, you kids, hear me. You can pray. You can go to God. He brings you through. I don't care how old you are. God's able to help you. You better have a good relationship with Jesus, because you put too much pressure on every other one. You feel so betrayed. I don't know how it is, why it is, but some of you found out for a short period of time. It seems like you've met somebody who's on the perfect wavelength just like you. You're thinking something and they go ahead and talk about it. You start the sentence, they can finish it. It seems like you both are so compatible. Listen, that's just a quirk for a moment. It doesn't keep on. And after a while, you wonder, what's wrong with you to think that way? I didn't think you would respond that way. We're not really together in nothing. We're not together in much at all. There's so much difference between us. What do you do when you discover that you're not both compatible? What do you do when you discover there's a lot about you that's not alike? You should have been deeper in Jesus before you began, but you can't change that. But run to the rock. Run to this Jesus. Run to him. Run to the Lord. Run to God. Run to him. He's your only help. Run to the Lord. A couple came to this church. They wanted friends. Listen, if you're going to be friends in this church, you got to start with Jesus, because you're going to hurt somebody. Somebody in the relationship is going to get hurt if Jesus isn't your first friend that you agree on. And after the service, they had been there not before and began to shake hands with people, and people became friendly, and they began to talk about they were looking for friends. And a couple in the church, they weren't married, but they'd been going together, and they said, well, fine, we are too. Let's go someplace. Let's get a bite to eat. And so they went to get a bite to eat. They sat in a restaurant. And the first thing that happened, the people who'd been part of this church, they put some money in the jukebox. And the other couple thought, well, I don't like the music they're playing. I'm surprised. And then they started talking about some things that just didn't seem to be the attitude that should be Christians. And through the whole thing, they felt betrayed. What was really wrong? I think what was wrong in both cases, those who were a part of this church, they didn't love Jesus enough. And those who needed Christian friends, they didn't understand that you've got to start with Jesus. And if you start with Jesus, you don't need as much down the road. But when you fail in step one, step two, step three, every step that you fail in puts more pressure on the next. God's first plan is a personal relationship. Secondly, it's family that God's put you in. Third, it's the family of God. As you're able to let the Lord minister to your life, you begin to sense, because it's right at the base, when it's right at the foundation, if this doesn't give me everything, I'm still making it, because the Lord supplies my every need. He makes up for what's missing in my marriage. He makes up what's missing in my home. He makes up for what's missing in my church. I'm able to know in this moment that I can go back to him when somebody doesn't see me, when somebody doesn't know me, when somebody doesn't understand me. He knows, he understands, he supplies my need. I'll come back, I'll run to the rock, and he'll help me. My help comes from the Lord. People feel so betrayed in marriage. Why? Because listen to the songs. Most of the songs that are of love should be sung to Jesus. Most of the love songs should be sung to Christ. You're my everything. You're my heart's desire. You make my day totally different. You put sunshine in my life. Most of the songs that are sung should be sung to Jesus. Nobody can do what those songs say. You're going to find it out. Nobody can fulfill those songs. They're a prayer that needs to go to God, because a man can't do it, a woman can't do it, and you find out that you're not the sunshine of my life. You're the argument that won't quit. And we sing those songs that you know that you could just change a word and they'd fit into church and they would be a song. Why? Because they're telling what only God can do. He's your first friend. He's your first friend. And when we have other friends, it's because we recognize the first friend. And Jesus said, you are, they'll know you as my disciples in that ye have love one toward another. But what do we start with? We start with discipleship. That comes before the love. We want to start with the love. Love me. Love me, man. Love me, woman. Love me, church. Love me, people. No, it's got to start with obedience unto God. The sin problem has to be dealt with before you can have a good love relationship. You've got to deal with sin. The sin of fear, the sin of unbelief, the sin of anger, the sin of selfishness, the sin of lying. All these sins had to be dealt with because they tear up relationships. And John is telling us that we are sinners and we are committing wrong, and yet we have been saved and born again, but we still miss the mark and we don't make good partners except God teaches us. And I am not a good partner except my first partnership is with Jesus, that I know him as my God and I praise him and I'm right with him and he rewards me thoroughly. I can say I taste and see that the Lord is good. We had a live-in situation, young people, a few years ago. A young girl came and wanted to be a part of it. She'd been beaten, bruised by all that happens in families and in the world. And so she walked through the door into our relationship as a ministry, did what we had to do to get to be inside, bowed her head and said, "I'm sorry." But for some people, it just doesn't click. It's just the way inside. It's not the way to Christ. And all of her hurt and brokenness, she never had a relationship with Jesus of love. All that she knew is that people talked about her, and she didn't know why people talked about her, and she didn't know why people didn't love her, and she didn't know why this person didn't like her, and she didn't know why there was gossip among the people, and she didn't know why this and that. All she knew, she was desperately trying to have people love her, and it wasn't working. Brother, it won't work. No, you got to simply know there's only one person that you know will love you. He's Jesus. And he will love you. He'll love you day or night. He'll love you no matter what. And that's the relationship you can count on. Let the others come and go. Let them develop. But start with him and know that I don't know why some people love and I don't know why some don't. But I know I can come to Jesus and he's able to help me. It's the Lord that I put my trust in. I don't put my trust in the arm of flesh. I put my trust in God. She reached wherever she could in the lowest of places to find some kind of love. And it never was what she wanted, because we all want the same love. We want supreme love. We want the best of love. We're looking for the best of relationships. We're looking for satisfaction. We're looking for somebody who understands us. We're looking for somebody who can say how wonderful we are. We're looking for somebody that lights up when we come into their life. We're looking and we see it for a moment, and a man looks and he sees that somebody lights up when he comes in, and they tell him how wonderful he is and how tremendous and how sensitive and all of this, and a miracle happens because somebody says, "I light up when you come around." But listen, it's not long until people tune out when you come around, and the same person that lit up is burned up now, and it's a different thing. And they said, "You used to be special, but I'll tell you right now, you're lazy, you're disorganized, you're this and you're that," and you find out that instead of having somebody light up, you're looking and they are frustrated. You can't depend upon people. You've got to depend upon God. The hurting and the ones that hurt both have to turn back to God and say, "Lord, help me. I need your touch. Lord, be my friend. My God, be my friend and help me." Sin is a problem in relationships. And nobody can handle sin but Jesus. He's the only one that can handle sin is Jesus. Somebody hurts you and it leaves its mark in your life. You'd be amazed at how much resentment you have that you don't even think you have. There'll come a day that you'll blow up and you'll start and you'll unwind with more than you ever thought. You'll be amazed. You think you forgot it, you handled it, you thought, well, it's all right. But it's still in you. To some degree, it's there, and you resent the injustice that's been done to you. And listen, you can't ever have relationships without some injustice happening. No matter who it is, in marriage, or if you're a child in a family, there's injustice that's been done. A child's been preferred over you. Somebody got away with it and you got a licking for it. Somebody didn't nobody say anything and another time you were called on the carpet. Injustice is a part of relationships, either perceived and not so or else actually so. But we sense in the middle that there is frustration, there's bitterness, there's hurt. Relationships are hard things. Relationships are hard things. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Marriages are born into trouble. Children in a family are born into trouble. Churches are born into trouble. Then you better be born again, because that's the only way that relationships are ever going to satisfy you. You need the help of the Lord. Oh, we cope with the trouble and problems at times. Like the woman whose husband has passed on to be with the Lord, and she deifies him who's gone. He was perfect, and he was totally everything, if you would listen to her now. And if there's anybody else that comes into her life, the new person could never measure up to the fantasy of yesterday. We either have fantasies going backward, or we have fantasies going forward. We either have fantasies that are in one direction or another. But there's fantasies. We don't deal with realities. We deal with hopes and dreams that don't become real. And we're hoping some way, somehow, that somebody's going to come on the stage who's going to be our everything. Listen, you need to know first and foremost that there is nobody that special. Nobody that special. I know that's hard for you to take, but you better settle it in your mind. Nobody can be God but God himself. Nobody can be God but God himself. Kidding, as most families do. My wife said, you better shape up or I'll be getting rid of you. I said, you don't want to do that. There'll be so many women standing in line, you couldn't believe it. Why? Because there's a lot of people who don't know that I'm not God yet. You find that out after you marry me. You find that out after you have a relationship in business or something else. You find it out later, but there's a whole lot of people who don't know that I'm not perfect yet. They'd form a line, I'm sure, that it would be true. But after it was all over with, they would understand that it's the same wherever we go, that it's only God who's perfect. Only God can satisfy. Only the Lord can do this. Are you willing to let God be first in your life? Are you willing to let God help you so that you let him be the choice first and foremost? Then you're not going to be running for other relationships half as quick. If you're single today, the first thing I would say is get your spiritual house in order. And if you do, you'll break up with her because you won't need her. Not in every case, but a lot of cases, people think their need is so great because they haven't received from the Lord yet. That doesn't mean you'll stay single, but that means that you won't deceive yourself. Some of the most deceived people I know are the ones who are telling me they're going to get married. I think, man, haven't you got the word yet? Didn't your friends be honest with you yet? Man, you can do better than that. They don't know that. They don't know that because they're putting everything on the first level now. And that first level is the thing that's important to them in relationship. You've got to start, though, back at the source. You've got to start with Jesus. Because I want to tell you this, Jesus can comfort you. I was in the Navy. Navy's a place where that you're in a strange place all the time and there's loneliness. You know what I found out in my loneliness? How wonderful Jesus was. That's what I found out. I could look up in the middle of the evening at a sky that was filled with stars, and I could just somehow know that he was closer than he'd ever been before because I was lonely. He was more real than I ever knew him to be because I was lonely. I didn't have nobody else around, but I knew in that moment, oh God, you're real, and I thank you for being real. You're here in this moment, and there'll be others that will come into my life, but right now I'm not afraid of being alone because I know you're the God that comforts me. You're my God, and I praise you. Thank you, Lord, for being here. You can be married and be frustrated. Have children, be frustrated. Willing to walk away from the man and the children both when you're frustrated. Why? Because you haven't started at the source. You've got to build upon God. And you got to realize that God gives you imperfect people and you're an imperfect person. But when you see the imperfection, you go back to God and He restores your soul. He's the one that restores your soul. He's the one that gives comfort to you. He's the one that blesses you. But you've got to get the sin out of your life, because if you don't get the sin out of your life, you can't have a relationship with God that pays off. Give me a few moments here. Your relationship with Christ has to pay off. They can get the sin out of your life. What sin, Pastor? Pride. Get the pride out of your life. Second, get the lie out of your life. Become honest before God. Begin to be honest with Him when you don't have to be honest with nobody else. Be honest with the Lord. Get the pride out of your life. Begin to put something into the relationship. No relationship can flourish without an investment. Worship Him. Praise Him. Don't just work in the church, but do something else. Take time to be alone with God and pray and talk to Him and bring your problems before Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. Put an investment in the relationship. Make it pay off. And then go to the priorities in your life of relationships. If you've got parents, then make it pay off. Go to the Lord and bless the Lord and say, God, I thank you for my parents. Build them up. Encourage them. I find Christians that they go to their parents and say, you old devil, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not saved. You can't tell me anything. Listen, don't be that way. Thank God for your parents. And when you want to help them and you can't, then turn back to Jesus and say, Lord, you've got to make up for this moment. I'm lonely in this moment, but God, I want you to touch my parents and I want you to bless them and I want you to help them. Lord, I want you to build a bond between us. Lord, I want you to deliver this relationship from the power of the devil, and I'm coming from this relationship back to the source, this relationship back to you. I'm coming back and asking you to perfect the relationship with my parents. Don't go into a marriage without having a perfection as best you can with your parents. Any marriage that is an escape from disappointment with parents or bitterness or any other thing is going to be under pressure. As much as possible, have reconciliation with your parents. Repent of the things that you've done that's careless, sloppy, and irritating with your parents. The judgmental attitude that you've had, perfect it as best as you can. Tell your dad you love him. Tell your mother that you love her. Spend as much as you can with appreciation in attitude. And don't be afraid of spending a buck on him when it comes a birthday or Christmas time. Show some appreciation to your parents. You want another relationship? You've already got one. Think about them before you go into your marriage. Marriage is not some way to escape from failure. Marriage is another challenge, because you paid the price and you've come into victory with Jesus, with your family, and now you're thanking God for another blessing as well. But don't run into marriage to get away from a lousy relationship with your parents. Make it right with God. Get their respect and let God bless you in it. And in every relationship that you have that will fail, and they all will fail, and you will fail in them, go from the failing back to Jesus. Back to Jesus. Back to Jesus. And let every relationship be that which has Jesus in respect in it. You don't have to say Jesus every time that you have a friend that you're with. You don't have to say it every 2 seconds. But you need to live a life that's compatible with the will and the philosophy and the word of God. You have to be able to be compatible with the Lord. You can't talk about people and have gossip in the church. If you find a friend and all you do is badmouth the church, the pastor, and this person and that, that's rotten. That's disgusting. It's not going to bring good fruit. You need to be able to share the joy that you have, the blessing you have, the victory that you have, the faith that you have, the joy, the humor that you have. You can't share garbage and call it friendship. And when your friends need less of the relationship than you do, don't hang on, but go back to Jesus and finish your hunger with Him. I remember when Shirley and I were first married, and I'll close real quick, but we lived next door to a couple we'd known before marriage, and it was exciting having our own place, and we'd go over their little house. We were willing to stay all night, I think. We just enjoyed it. Just, I don't know, we just enjoyed their fellowship. And finally, one day the wife said to Shirley, said, I don't know how to say this, but you guys got to give us a break. We can't stand having you over all the time. Well, first of all, it was somewhat embarrassing, and so we had to take it, but realize that it was a truth that we didn't realize, that in any relationship, somebody's getting satisfied before the other person. And what do you do when you'd like more and the other person doesn't? You leave, but you return to Jesus. You return to the Lord, because that longing that you still have after friends are satisfied, a husband is satisfied, a father, a mother, whoever it might be, there's still the need for more. You have to come back to Jesus, and he fills the cup the rest of the way. He's the one that gives joy, and he's the one that gives peace. He's the Lord. And if you don't put Jesus first, you're going to ruin some things called relationships. You're going to ruin them. You're going to tear them up. Shirley and I, we hadn't been married long, and a couple had come over. And I just kind of would like to have spent the evening with Shirley in that early time. But friends are friends, and they're nice to have around, so no problem. Except it seems like they would never go home. And it was late. It was time for people of good sense to go. Nice to come. Nice to play some games. It's about time for you to get your coat. And the hi-fi was playing, and my mind thought, if this thing plays all night, they may stay all night. Maybe it's time to turn that thing off. So I went over and I turned it off. And Shirley said, why'd you turn that off? I'm just tired of it. Well, I'm not. She turned it on. I said I was tired of it. I went over and I turned it off. She said, I don't like your attitude. And she picked up a dish and threw it at me. I never saw people leave so fast in my life. We didn't even say leave or nothing. They were gone. You need a foundation. You need to be able to go to somebody when you don't need that. Whether it's grief or whether it's more love or whatever it is, when you come to the place that in that moment you can draw from God, you can say, Lord, help me right now. Help me right now, Lord, in this unpleasant situation. Help me right now. Oh, if I'd been closer to the Lord, I'd have made it through. But without the Lord, there was no need to make it through. I wanted to get out of it. When the Lord's not in the picture, the wife goes out and works and comes home and has to clean the house and everything, and the guy just says, fix me another sandwich. And the wife gets bitter. No, when Christ is in the picture, the husband becomes understanding and he becomes fair. The wife gets over her bitterness and we grow together. You need some friends. You've come here. You're going to find out that maybe after you've been here for 3 months, people still call you brother because they don't know what in the world your name is. They haven't a clue. And finally somebody says, how long have you been coming here? And you say, 14 years. You're lying, but I mean, they don't know the difference. Oh, yeah. If you've already had a relationship with Jesus, you can deal with imperfect people in an imperfect situation. But if you don't have a relationship with Christ, it'll drive you up the wall. And you'll make up your mind you're not going to put up with this any longer. But there's no church or no friendship or no person can make up for the fact that you've neglected Christ as a friend. You got to start back there. You got to start right there. You got to let Jesus be your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Stand with me in this service. I hope I haven't just preached a pleasant message. I hope you get what God is saying. No relationship that you are confident is going to help you is going to do it if you don't start with Christ. And one day you're going to wake up as bitter as they can get. You've been a conniver, a manipulator. You've been one way all the way through this relationship, and I can't stand it anymore. Men wake up one morning and think, I'm sick of this whole thing. Women wake up one day and they think, I'm sick of this whole thing. People wake up one day and say, let's go somewhere else. I'm tired of the church. Why? Because if you put too much pressure on any relationship, there's something that you can know that in any relationship, somebody's getting taken. Somebody's getting a little less than the other. Somebody wants more when the other one's satisfied. Where can you go when you still want something and a relationship hasn't given you? You've got to go back to your relationship with Christ. Believe me, you've got to have a good relationship with Him if other relationships are going to have any meaning for you. May the Holy Spirit make this message real to your heart. God bless you today.